All right. Let's grab our hymnals, folks. Great testimonies this morning. Really touching the heart. Let's open up our hymnals to 32. 32. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And let's stand. We're marching to Zion. Glad for that. And we need to be properly armored in this warfare if we're going to stand. Onward, Christian soldiers. We'll sing the first, third, and fourth. Prior to the message this morning. Good sounding organ.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, the sea's banner go. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus moving on before. Onward, then, ye people, join our happy throng. Lend with us your voices in the triumph song.
Amen. Please be seated, church. Good singing this morning. And one last announcement. Yeah, Val?
Yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing. I had an email from Adeline.
Yes.
Adeline now has a UTI, so she's
alive. I spoke to her last night. She said she was coming, so she probably just found that out.
If she was
yesterday. Bless her heart. Pray for Addie. She hates to miss, you know.
Yeah, she does.
And one announcement, pray for Ellie. Ellie, our church secretary, is heading to Massachusetts to spend a week with the grandkids and her son and daughter-in-law. So,
and that was a further blessing because on, I think it was Tuesday also, because Adeline was on my heart as well as Phyllis.
Yeah.
So I had spoken with Adeline too. And praise God, because it was so beautiful, her and I, before we got off the phone, we prayed together, and that was such a blessing. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she is. Addie's a real blessing. Praise the Lord. Well, folks, let's grab our Bibles at this time and open up to Luke's Gospel. Luke, chapter number 2 this morning. We will sing again after. Got a great, great hymn we're going to sing after this message. You're going to love it. Let me ask you a question, folks. How many of you like to take pictures? Oh, yeah, everybody's hand is up. We all take pictures. Family gatherings, go to the zoo, go on a trip, vacation. Photos. You can take photos. And now, you don't need film no more. You got digital camera. You know, you just click it and you put it, download to your computer, you print it out, whatever. It's amazing. But did you know that God also likes to take pictures? Oh, yes. The Lord our God, in fact, is a picture taker. And he loves... How many dads love to take pictures of their sons? Oh, yeah, my hand's up, yeah. Because you're so proud of your boy. You want to show him off, amen?
Right.
You know that God is a father?
Yeah.
And God loves to take snapshots of his son. I want to speak to you this morning on snapshots of the Son of God. And every time you see in the Bible the word behold, you need to stop and find out what he wants you to behold. Because God is trying to show you a spiritual portrait of his son when you see that word. We're going to see that this morning. Now, in Luke chapter 2, last week I preached on Luke chapter 1, Jesus, Savior, and King. And I don't want to let go of the incarnation preaching just yet, you know. I only get this once a year, so I need to take full advantage. We'll go to chapter 2 this morning. In Luke chapter 2, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word as we begin reading in verse number 7. Luke 2:7. Speaking of Mary. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for I, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Beloved, I want to speak to you on snapshots of the Son of God. Father in heaven, how we thank you for your word today. And how we thank you, Lord, that you've got a son, and you're so proud of him. And you want to show him off to the world this Christmas season. How we thank you for that, Lord. And how we thank you for the spiritual snapshots you've taken of him. The pictures, the photos, the incredible images you've given us of your dear son. They're all glorious, Lord. And we thank you and we ask you to bless your word at this time. Give us spiritual understanding in these truths. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 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 Please be seated, church. Today, we will look at the ongoing saga in the Bible of what God wants us to see when in his word, he says, Behold. Behold, God has given us in the Bible a number of snapshots of his son. The first one I want you to see is behold the baby. Behold the newborn. Look with me in verse 10 of our text. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, for behold, I bring you, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God. I love that verse. Foot 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. You know what we see here, beloved? We see a snapshot of the Son of God as a babe. I am so glad for this first snapshot. It's a boy. I remember going to work. You know, we had four. And every time Mary would have a baby, I'd go to work with bubblegum cigars. You know, against smoking, you know. And I'd give them to the guys. It's a boy! It's a boy! You know, you want to show off, right? God wants to show off. Go with me to Isaiah. Chapter 7, hold your place, we're coming back. In Isaiah, chapter number 7, the exact prophecy of Isaiah comes true. In Luke 2:11, look with me in Isaiah chapter 7. This is God speaking through the prophet. And verse 14, by the way, that's 777. Verse 14, and he shall be for a sanctuary. But for a stone of stone. Oh, yes, that's a good one too, but chapter 7. Look at it, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. What's the next word? You're going to see it over and over this morning. When he says, behold, he's painting a portrait, a spiritual snapshot, a photograph of somebody. Look at it. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Beloved, I want you to behold the babe this morning. Yes, our Maker became a little baby in a manger. Yep. It's a miracle. And notice it says in verse 14, a virgin shall conceive. Yes, we still believe in the literal virgin birth of the Son of God. Amen. I am so glad he was. His name is Emmanuel. It's God in the baby. Isaiah chapter 9. Look at verse number 6. We saw it last week. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, Israel. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. That's who he is. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace became a little baby. Wow! Behold him, church! Behold him as a little baby boy. Galatians 4:4, don't turn there. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. At the right time, God sent his Son. He became a baby. Behold, the babe in the manger. But secondly, this morning, I see another snapshot of the Son of God. Behold the Father's Son. At 12 years of age, go with me to Luke chapter 2 again. Back to chapter 2. And I'm so glad that he was his father's son. Amen? Not Joseph's. Look at it. Another snapshot. At the age of 12. In Luke chapter 2, go to verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, another snapshot, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother, not his father and mother, Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him amongst their kinsfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. He was teaching them. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Amen. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ wanted to begin his earthly ministry at the age of 12. He would have been crucified at 15. Yeah. And they stopped him. And he said, okay, Mom, I'll come with you. I'll be obedient. Wow. He's sitting in the temple and he's teaching the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers, doctors, about the Word of God. And they stand amazed. Who is this boy? Could you imagine? Oh, man, I'd love to have been there and heard some of the things he was teaching them. Amen. It's all about me. Glory to God. I am so thankful that the Father's Son. Listen, in John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus said, behold, I and my Father are one. We're one. Why? I'm my Father's son.
Yes,
he gave me to the world. But something else, I see a third snapshot of the Son of God. Behold the Lamb of God at 30 years of age. You got a family album? We're at 30 years of age now. Go with me to John chapter 1. I'm so thankful for these snapshots. They're crystal clear by the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 1, look with me at verse 29. The next day, John, that's Baptist, not apostle, seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, what's the next word?
Behold.
Behold. The what?
The Lamb of God.
When God says, behold, you better stop and look. He's talking about somebody real special. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Glory to God. Drop down to verse 36. In 36, again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. I'm so thankful this morning, church, that God our Maker wants us to pause and behold this glorious Lamb of God provided for the sins of the world. What a Savior we serve. Wow! Behold Him in all His glory. Behold Him as the sacrificial Lamb of God. In Genesis chapter 22, look with me quickly. In Genesis chapter 22, Abraham's faith is severely tested. Amen? And God is painting a spiritual portrait here for you and I. In Genesis 22, he takes Isaac, his only son, his progeny, up on the Mount Moriah. God told him, sacrifice him to me. What? Look in chapter 22. And look with me at verse number 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire. What's he say?
Behold.
The fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Verse 8. And Abram said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, beloved, you've got to understand something here. The Greek, Hebraic, the Masoretic text here, not the Greek, the Masoretic Hebrew text, is worded that God would provide himself as the Lamb.
Yes.
We got to behold the Lamb of God. Amen? Oh, I'm so thankful for this portrait that he became the one-time offering for sin forever. To them that believe on him. Revelation chapter 5, before we move on. Oh, this portrait is good. In Revelation chapter number 5, look with me at verse number 12. This is what they're doing in heaven. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and blessing. Oh, yes, he is worthy. Why? Because he's the Lamb of God. Folks, listen to me. I want to make a statement. There is only one person in the universe that is worthy of your adoration, your praise, your heart's worship. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He is the one. Behold the Lamb of God. But I see another portrait, another snapshot of the Son of God. Behold the man. Go with me to John chapter 19. At the age of 33 and a half, we've come in our family album, and we want to behold the portrait and snapshot of the man. Behold the man. In John chapter 19, look with me at verse 4. He's before Pilate, and much the statement. Verse 4. Pilate therefore went forth again, and saith unto them, what?
Behold.
Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold the man! Wow! What a scene in Jerusalem! When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Verse 5, behold the man. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that God would have all humanity to behold the man about to be crucified on that cross. All humanity, whether they're Buddhist, Muslim, Krishna, Hindu, whatever. God wants them to come to that man, the God man. Behold, and Pilate said, there's no fault in that one. He's sinless. He's perfect. You want to love somebody? You got to love somebody who's perfect, who'll never let you down, who'll never disappoint you, who'll never break your heart. Oh, that's the man. Behold the man. Glory to God in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at this. I'm so thankful that he became a man to die for my sins that I could be redeemed. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, look with me at verse number 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He's the man. You heard this saying, you know, oh, he's the man. Tom Brady, he's the man. No, he's not. No, he's not. The man is Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the man. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. There's only one that I want to boast of in this world. There's only one that I want to elevate and lift up before people. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. He's worthy. Behold the man. Beloved, someone wrote, author unknown, To have been the cup that his lips touched, the bread which he broke, the cloth that he held as he served, the water he poured as he spoke, to have been the road he walked upon, or his print in the sand, to have been the door opening the tomb, but I was the nail in his hand. I was the nail in his hand. Wow. I want you to behold the man this morning. But I see another snapshot of the Son of God. Fifthly, behold the Savior. Oh, I'm so thankful that there is a Savior. It was 3 days later from behold the man. 3 days later, God took another snapshot. Look with me in Luke chapter 24. You won't want to miss this one. In Luke chapter 24, look with me at verse 36. Final chapter of Luke's gospel, 36. And as they spake thus, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Time out, church. Before we continue reading, I got to pause for a minute. Because every time Jesus shows up in your life, in my life, he says, peace be unto you. Don't worry about a thing. I'm here to take care of your problem. Amen? Whatever the need is. I'm here. I'm present. Fear not. Peace be unto you. But they were, look at verse 37. But they were terrified. Guys, it's Jesus. Verse 37, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Oh no, Friday the 13th. And he saith unto them, why are ye troubled? I got to preach that one of these Sundays. Why are ye troubled? What's the problem? Jesus Christ, words in red. And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? You know those worries, anxieties. What's the next word? Behold my hands, behold my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones that you see me have. Verse 40, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. He says, behold my hands and my feet. Behold the holes that pierced through on the cross. It's me. Oh, beloved, I want you to behold the Savior with the nail prints in his hands and feet. In Luke chapter 2, go back to chapter 2. We saw this last week, but it bears repetition because it's such a good verse. In Luke chapter 2, look at me at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He's a Savior. Amen. He's a good one. He's so good that he's never lost one that he saved. Yes. Amen? All these preachers get up and go, oh, if you don't keep the golden rule and keep Moses' commandments, you're not going to make it to heaven and you're going to miss the rapture. Shut up and sit down, please. He's a savior, and he saves all by himself. He doesn't need your help. Amen? I am so thankful. Behold, the Savior. Yes, the eternal Word became the living Word. And when he went back to heaven, he left us the written Word. Amen? Behold the Savior. But I see one final snapshot of the Son of God that we must see. And I like this most of all. It was 2,000 years later. And it hasn't happened yet. Behold the King. Behold the King. Look with me in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And we read, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus, Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that he is a king, he has a kingdom, and he will rule forever. That's who we serve. That's the great one of Nazareth that we love and worship and adore. Oh, I love that. He says, behold, verse 31, behold, there it is. You see it, verse 31? Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, which being interpreted means Savior, Savior, and King. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful for this King. Listen, Kodak gives you a picture from yesterday, film. Polaroid gives you a picture of today, instant. But only God can give you pictures of tomorrow. And he's given us one here of a glorious King coming down to the earth to rule and reign. Wow! God gives us pictures of the future, and they never miss. Jude, verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, Genesis chapter 5, prophesied of these, saying, behold, there it is, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. You know what Enoch preached? Second Advent. He preached the second advent, because when he comes back the second time, he's coming as a conquering king, not as a dying lamb. Revelation 1:7, first word, behold! How'd you guess? Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. He's a coming king. God wants you to see this picture most of all. That this son of his, yeah, he came 2,000 years ago. He died on a cross, but he's coming again, and he's not happy with this world. Beloved, the king is coming again. Revelation 1:18. I am he, Jesus speaking, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And amen, have the keys of hell and death. He says, I'm the king. I have all the keys. You need me for your eternity. Amen? Why? Because he's the king. He's the coming king. He's the glorious king. He's the conquering king. In Revelation 3, verse 11, behold, I come quickly, and hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He's coming, church, over and over and over. The king is coming. Oh, the Bible makes it clear. Now, the question this morning is this. Do you behold him? I mean, do you behold these snapshots and admire and glory in these pictures that God the Father has preserved in the family album? Yeah, that's right, Matt. He held up his Bible. You got them. You got a family album, and they contain portraits of the glorious King that you love and serve, the one who saved your soul. Glory to God. A second question. Not only do you behold him in your daily life, but are you ready for his return? Oh, beloved, it's getting ready time. Oh, yeah. Jesus is coming. He's the King. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if I'm faithful. Amen? I got a third question for you. Have you received his love and forgiveness? Most importantly, we need to receive him personally. Not something mama can do for me. I need Jesus Christ, myself, as my Savior from sin. I want to give you a story in closing. In 1906, you know I'm a historian, Harry Houdini was the greatest magician on planet Earth. Harry Houdini carried out what they called the greatest magic trick of all time. Yeah. Harry Houdini had these guys locked, all the reporters were present. Thousands of people came to New York Harbor to see that it was all frozen over. And Harry Houdini had them chain him, padlock it, and handcuff him behind his back. Stuck him in a chest, padlocked the chest from the outside. Hello? Pulled holes in the chest, carried him up on a crane, cut a hole in the ice, and dropped him into the water below, freezing. 20 minutes went by. No sign of Harry. People started to leave. They said, he's dead, man. He didn't survive this magic trick. He's done. Half an hour went by. More people left. After 39 minutes, everyone but his wife had left. Giving him up for dead. Guess what? Harry Houdini came up out of the hole. Alive! And she said, honey, how'd you do it? And he had found air pockets under the ice. And he survived. And he finally swam back to the hole and got up. Folks, what am I saying? That was definitely a great trick. Amen? And everybody came to behold Harry Houdini with the world's greatest magic trick. But I got something so much better to behold. I got something so much better for you to behold. The snapshots of the Son of God. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning. That Lord, you are the greatest Savior, King, Lord, and coming conqueror the world has ever seen. And we thank you, Lord, that your name means Savior. And we're thankful, Father, this morning that we have personally been saved from the penalty of our sins through your precious blood. Lord, my prayer this Christmas season is that multitudes around this world will hear this message and behold the Lamb of God and receive him as their Savior from sin and tell somebody, I'm a Christian. Jesus is my Savior. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful this morning that your arms are wide open right now to anyone under the sound of my voice. Your arms are spread, like on the cross, wide open, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, I'm so thankful that you want them all to come. No matter what they've done, no matter how sinful and bad they've been, you want to cleanse away their sins by your precious blood and become their personal Savior. Oh Lord, our prayer as a church family this morning is that you would use this message in this church to bring a host, a multitude of precious souls to the Son of God, that they too could admire these precious snapshots of thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's grab our hymnals, folks, as we stand this morning. And open up to 332, Carol's favorite. 332. Where are you there? And we will sing first, third, and fourth. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Thank you.
This morning, that each of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior can say, we were there. We were in Christ, crucified with Christ, risen from the dead with Him. Hallelujah. We thank you this morning, Lord, for this precious, most unspeakable gift of God, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift the world has ever received, the Son of God. Thank you for the snapshots of Him. Thank you, Lord, by your Holy Spirit teaching us this morning to hone in our spiritual focus upon His glorious face, and all will be well. We thank you for that this morning, Lord, and we thank you for those around the world who are receiving you, even today, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ's blood atonement for their sins, receiving the Holy Spirit of God through regeneration, new birth. We thank you for that, Father. We love you today. We pray you bring us back tonight at the appointed time that we may worship thee again. And we thank you for the gift of salvation. In Jesus' holy name, the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Love you all.